We pray. Dear Good Shepherd, guide us ever onward in your love and mercy and wisdom. Reclaim us when we stray. Call to us your word, your will, your favor and grace, that each day we might be aglow in your divine will. Be with us and lead us ever onward to the glory of your name. Amen. Do you prefer movies that are comedies or tragedies? Comedies. They are the ones that have happy endings. All's well that ends well. Tragedies, on the other hand, have sad endings, but even much more. They also have a flawed man or woman who set in motion a murderous plot, only to have it backfire on them and destroy themselves. The knife they bring to plunge into their enemy's back somehow mysteriously cuts their own throat. The poison they plan on putting into their enemy's cup instead is dropped into their drink. Judas was a real life tragedy, with salvation so close and yet so far. He was spent 3 years with Jesus, listening to his sermons, seeing his miracles, and even performing miracles in the name of Jesus. Jesus had explained to his disciples over at least 3 times how he was destined for Jerusalem to die and to rise again. Judas hatched a scheme to make a little money off of Jesus' death. While the disciples were going ahead of themselves to the village to prepare to eat the Passover meal with Jesus, Judas was going ahead to make plans with the chief priests to reveal Jesus' place of prayer if they paid him enough money. Money. Judas knew why the chief priests wanted Jesus and, more importantly, what they would do to him. Even though Judas knew this was a sin before God, his cold heart didn't care. The silver coins clinked in his pocket as he sat at that Passover supper with Jesus, declaring his innocence. "Surely not I, Rabbi." Those silver coins clinked in his pocket when Jesus dismissed him from the supper so that he could walk a second time to find the high priests in order to earn the money he had taken. He tried to disguise his sin with a hypocritical kiss, the kiss of death, the sign to the soldiers as to which man to arrest. Quickly, they tied Jesus up and marched him to the chief priest's courtroom so that to the judgment seat of Pilate he would go and bound to a death sentence within hours. This was a crucial hour for Jesus. Like dominoes falling, his trials and execution were soon to follow. This was also a crucial hour for Judas, as the venom of Judas' evil plan worked flawlessly, so that serpent turned and also bit Judas, infecting his flaws with evil. those 30 silver coins, the blood money, brought Judas sorrow, not joy, purchasing both Jesus' death and Judas' downfall. Jesus' words were probably echoing through Judas' mind. Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Jesus wanted to show Judas his sin so that sorrow might fill his heart, so that he might turn to Jesus for the forgiveness that he so richly needed. Sorrow flooded Judas' heart as he made a third trip to the chief priests. We read, then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he felt remorse. He brought back the 30 silver coins, 30 pieces of silver, to the chief priests and elders and said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? That's your problem. Satan was not done tempting Judas. At first, Satan pushed Judas into turning off his conscience so that he could betray innocent blood with cold efficiency. After Jesus was convicted, Satan tormented Judas' guilty conscience. The consciences of the chief priests of Israel, they were dead. What is that to us? That is your problem. What cruel, evil shepherds of Israel they were, not to care about the sins that were crushing Judas and his soul, sins for which they had actually paid for. If we were standing next to Judas in that hour of need, when he was seized with such remorse, what would we tell him to remember? Oh, Judas, remember the prophet Isaiah, who spelled out why the Messiah was coming to die. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are clean. We are healed. Judas' tragedy kept spinning ever downward into a more tragic life. Instead of turning his eyes to Jesus, the Son of God, in faith, looking for forgiveness, no, Judas rolled over and over in his head and heart just how wicked he had been. Satan pounced and harassed him into ending his life. As we travel this Lenten road with Jesus, he shows us what he sees. Not how wonderful we are because we are traveling with him when so many others don't seem to care. Rather, he exposes our deadly infections, shines a light on our ulcering evils, calls out the sins in which our sinful natures parties. Jesus knows that we need to sorrow so that we give up any fantasy of how wonderful we are, spiritual people who don't need Jesus' blood, death, and resurrection. Jesus terrifies our conscience so that we see our need for a Savior. Like Judas, we are seized with sorrow and remorse when we look at our flawed hearts. When we are in the throes of anguish, we need to focus on what to remember when you are seized with remorse. Satan tries to shut down our conscience also, so that we sin with cold efficiency. When Jesus calls our name, asking us whether we have betrayed him, Satan is right there to try to push us from cold indifference into suicidal despair. Remember that Jesus died and rose for a purpose, to be us, to be punished for us, to be life and forgiveness for us. Those wretched sins that fill our eyes with tears, that move us to pound our chest in grief, that make us wish we had never, ever even been born, those sins hung on Jesus. He paid for them all in his blood, that he has taken off us our debt, paid in full. Our journey this year with Jesus is the same journey Jesus takes with all of his believers throughout time. The psalmist, 1,000 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, shows us what to remember when we are seized with remorse. He shows us by showing us what he did. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. The psalmist was in the depths. I wonder whether he betrayed Jesus with his sinning, his wicked pleasures having turned to guilty pain. In his depths of anguish, he remembered that he could call out to his Savior for mercy and forgiveness. The Lord has taken our record of sins and made it his own. Paid for it himself. Also, there is no record of our sins anymore. Forgiven and forgotten. The Apostle Peter reminded the New Testament believers, Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. How blessed we are that Jesus asks us, have you betrayed me? Filling our hearts with remorse over our sins, so that we do not trust ourselves, become cold-hearted, unrepentant, and ultimately then lose salvation. How blessed we are that Jesus calls our names, turns our eyes toward him, and reminds us of his sacrifice that sets us free, reminding us with a yearly journey to his cross. God has declared us forgiven, healed, his own dear children. All is right between us and God because Jesus has made it right. Our journey is a lifelong journey of repentance, living both with sorrow over our sin and faith in Jesus' forgiveness. In repentance, we approach Christ's cross and his empty tomb yet again this year. Our hands touching the hard wooden cross, feeling the dried blood. Our eyes straining and our lungs gasping in the dark, cold, empty tomb where Jesus' body once laid. We eagerly wait to hear the angel's Easter message. For now, we walk on, focusing on what to remember when we are seized with remorse. A crucial hour for us. Amen.